You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to this week's edition of The Pilgrim on the 405, where we help business owners and businesses to thrive in California. Now, some of the issues that we've been looking at are innovation, creativity, values, how we take our businesses to the next level, and how we use creativity to help us find those new places that we are taking our business and the people in our businesses. And today we're going to be interviewing Peter Chang. Peter is the founder and executive director of the Child Creativity Lab here in Orange County. He recently also served as an appointed member of the Orange County Child Care and Development Planning Council and a board member for the Orange County Chapter of California School Age Consortium. Peter started his career working at a not-for-profit organization servicing the needs of HIV and AIDS patients and has over 10 years of experience in business, marketing strategy, and new product planning. He is a graduate of USC, Go Trojans, huh? And with a BS in business administration and emphasis in entrepreneurship, and a MBA in business administration from the University of Rochester, and an MPH in public health from the University of California, Los Angeles. So, Peter, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405.
Will, thank you for having me.
So, Peter, tell me a little bit about what you see when you look out at schools today with regard to creativity, entrepreneurship, innovation.
It's been a really different dynamic the last few decades. When I was growing up, we didn't have the standardized testing that they do today. And so right now, starting in fourth grade, children have to go through standardized state testing. And they have to do that every other year to assess how they're doing, assess how the schools are doing, assess how the states are doing. And the result of that is that the teachers are teaching to the test. Okay, so what that means is these teachers are trying to ensure that their students do as best as they can on these state tests. Because one, you know, it's a reflection on them. And also in a lot of cases, they are incentivized by how well their classrooms and their schools do. So what's happening is because they're so much emphasis on that, they're trying to make sure that these kids can really figure out if the answer is A, B, or C. Because of the emphasis by these schools, they're putting in these resources and all these efforts into making sure that those students do well in those standardized testing. What they're doing is they're taking away budget and time and resources from areas that they feel don't have an impact on that. And so what's happened is a budget cut or a number of budget cuts in areas that have traditionally fostered creativity in our culture, which is music, arts, theater. Those wonderful things that help foster what we think of as creativity.
So would it be safe to say this is a reallocation of funds?
Yes. What happens is it's been a reallocation of funds to areas that the state as well as the federal education policy has emphasized as priorities.
And now, to be fair to teachers, the whole notion of helping students, I think, was called No Child Left Behind, right?
And so exactly.
this was, to my way of thinking, my wife is an educator, so I hear it from both sides, a lot of different sides.
Yeah.
And to my way of thinking, this was an effort to raise the standards for education. And some of what I'm hearing you is some of the unintended consequences are this reallocation of resources, which is time, money, and content toward the basic educational outcomes to the detriment of arts, music, theater.
Right. I don't believe people think that they wanted to do this on purpose. You absolutely said it correct. These are unintended consequences of what happened with No Child Left Behind and other policies. They thought they were doing things for the betterment of the children. They wanted to focus on core subject areas where we think we can assess children the best, as well as areas where we found out that the United States has been falling short as compared to other countries around the world. And so the unintended consequences was the reduction or the reallocation, like you mentioned, of resources and emphasis and effort away from areas that we didn't feel were as beneficial. But what we missed were that they were extremely beneficial and they helped provide the development of a more well-rounded child. So because of that, we have a wonderful generation of children and early professionals that can do great things when they're being told exactly what to do, task-oriented activities. But in this day and age, that's not what corporate America is looking for.
So tell me what corporate America is looking for.
Well, one of the big reasons why we started the Child Creativity Lab was because of the study that IBM did with CEOs. It was a 2010 study. They interviewed over 1,500 CEOs, in-person interviews, and what they found was creativity is the number one leadership trait that they're looking for in their employees. Because it's just a different world than it used to be. It's much more global. It's much more competitive. You have to pivot quickly. You can't do the same things that you have traditionally done over the years. And because of that, they need employees that can think outside the box, think non-traditionally, and move fast, think on their toes. And so those are really non-kind of task-oriented activities.
So there is a discrepancy between what we are producing in the schools right now and what CEOs of leading companies believe we need to have.
Exactly. And not only that, Adobe Education did a very similar study right about that same time, but they did it with the employee side. So the employees were telling us the same exact thing. Creativity skills were one of the top three traits that they felt that they needed to succeed. However, close to 80% of them felt that they didn't have enough of it.
All right, so with this in mind, what is it that you are doing to help?
First of all, the one thing that we're trying to do is really change the perception of what people think of creativity is. So the first thing we do when we work with children is that we ask them, what does creativity mean to you? All right. So most of the answers that we get are, you know, related to arts and music and creating wonderful new ideas and having no limits and things like that. And that's, you know, creativity is absolutely all of those things. But we talk about it as much more than that. We need to change how both parents as well as children think about creativity and how important it is. So we talk about creativity as much more than just those things that I mentioned, but it's also things that these children need day in and day out, whether they're at home, whether they're at school, their friend's place, in the park, in the playground. It is a foundational skill set that they need for problem solving, for critical thinking, for innovation. And more importantly, as they get older, it's something that they're going to need for wherever they go in their career path, whether it is in the arts, or it's in advertising, or it's in medicine, or business, or engineering. It's something foundational that they need. So education is a huge aspect of what we do, and making sure that parents, especially in Orange County, where we have a lot of anxious parents that want to do so much for their children, we need to make sure that creativity is understood as a priority foundational skill set that they need to provide for their children.
Is there any opposition to this? Is anybody who says creativity is not important?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when I grew up and before I got into this, you know, my thought of creativity was very different, and it was very much like what a lot of the parents and a lot of children think of as today. You know, it's one of those things where I thought that you were either born with creativity or you just didn't have it. It was something that you were just either good at or you just weren't. And it was, you know, something much more related just to kind of those very unique and special talents such as poetry and arts and music and theater and those things. And so it's just, you know, that's kind of the mainstream perception of what creativity is. And so when we talk about our organization as something that helps with creativity, we're really shortchanging it because of that perception. So we always talk about creativity as problem solving and critical thinking so that these parents know.
All right. So how is it that you are attempting to bridge this gap? Certainly there's education of parents and
right.
other advocates for education and child development, but there's also I'm assuming there's a place for you to play in the actual training of students in creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. We work with close to 8,000 children a year in Orange County, and what we do are we do hands-on workshops that help foster these skills. We make sure that they understand that creativity is just like any other skill set that they want to improve on. Whether it's like soccer or art or math, we talk to them about that if you practice being creative, the more you practice, the better you get. And if you don't practice creativity, you're just going to not be able to have that skill set as sharp as it needs to be. So we do workshops all throughout Orange County. We started our outreach program. We call it our Museum on Wheels in 2014. So we go to schools, we go to after-school sites, we go to libraries, we go to community partner locations, and we do workshops directly on site at these locations. And then we also have a center in Santa Ana where we bring in field trips and homeschool groups, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, foster kids, and we do workshops directly on site to help them with their creativity. So we have a menu of over 15 different types of workshops. They're all STEM-based, so science, technology, engineering, math-based. Much more open-ended than kind of your more hardcore science organizations. But we definitely kind of try to link up with what the priorities are with the Orange County Department of Education as well as the California Department of Education, what they're doing, which is STEM. And we utilize that as the foundation for our creativity-enhancing programs.
Well, now, when you talk about soccer, math, mm-hmm. art, these are systems, right? There's a system for doing math. That's what we actually understand. It's a language. It's a way of communicating. It's a way of problem solving. But there's a system. Likewise, Every soccer team has its plays, its system, and practice means I'm going to learn this system that we as a group are using, plus what soccer is around the world. And likewise with art, there is a system for producing art, maybe not my art, but for art, for learning the skills of that. Is there a system for creativity?
So I, you know, that's a great point. There is a system component to all those things that you mentioned. There's also a kind of a skill set component. But when you're talking about creativity, there's also a system component as well. When we do our workshops, it's a process for them to learn how to really kind of dive into their creativity. So we have them go through the design thinking process, it's kind of the engineer process where, you know, we don't just give them materials and have them make creations. We want them to think like real life inventors and engineers. So we want them to plan out and design what their creations or solutions are going to be first, and then we get them into the creation phase, and then we have a reflection phase where they really kind of dive into the work that they did, and they get a chance to really kind of ingrain the learnings that we're trying to give them. So it is a process that they go through, and hopefully that they incorporate when other problems come about that they have to address.
All right, so these are ways that you can help children learn the creativity skills. Are there ways that you can help adults in business right now refine or even begin to discover their own creativity skills?
Yeah, great question. When we opened our center over a year ago, we started allowed us to expand our programming, and because of that, one of the things that has been really growing is our adult programs. So we work with schools, with their staff, for professional development opportunities. We work with employer groups for team building and creativity enhancing programs, and it's very similar to what we do with the kids. We do scale it up for adults, but a lot of the need and the training that we do is very similar to what we do with the kids. In a lot of cases, it's much more that we need to do because, you know, these adults, like myself, they've gone through years and years of our culture of our parents, our teachers, our mentors, our bosses, our managers telling us you have to do things a certain way, right? And so for us to then tell them that there's more than one solution to an answer, and we want them to be creative and trying to brainstorm different solutions to that answer, I mean, these adults have to take quite a bit more time than the children do and doing our challenges.
Good. Well, I want to talk a little bit more after the break with you about how businesses can use what the Creativity Lab has to improve their businesses, and how through that they can also support you in your intervention with children in developing creativity skills.
Great.
All right. So we'll be right back with the Pilgrim on the 405, talking about how to thrive with businesses in California, talking to Peter Chang at the Child Creativity Lab here in Orange County. We'll be right back.
Does your company need more than basic financial transactions? Are you holding your business back with your entry-level accounting software? When your business starts to grow, and it will, you'll need more security, features, and functionality. Well, let me introduce you to Gravity Software. Gravity Software's online accounting solution is written on the Microsoft CRM platform. No more islands of information. Financials and CRM are fully integrated and in the cloud. Gravity's goal is to fill the gap between entry-level accounting software like QuickBooks and complex and expensive enterprise applications. Gravity Software, simply innovative business management. Learn more at go-gravity.com.
Hi, time for another tip from the Sandler Sales Institute. Prospects want your information and expertise. Prospects have been trained by the vast majority of salespeople to feel entitled to your valuable information. Most salespeople are comfortable in coughing up their expertise for free. However, when the orders don't come and the prospect has shopped your information to your competitor, the salesperson has fallen victim to unpaid consulting. Before giving information, ask good questions. What does the prospect want? What is the urgency? What are the consequences of not buying anything? What is the decision-making process? Eliminate unpaid consulting. This has been another Sandler Sales Institute tip.
All right, let's pick it back up with Will and his guests. We're having more interesting conversations offline here about all this.
All right, so here we are back with Peter Chang from the Child Creativity Lab here in Orange County. And we've been talking about the discrepancy in terms of outcomes in schools that have dedicated themselves to a very good cause of in improving basic skills, but sometimes because of reallocation of resources to focus on those reinforcement and training for basic skills, the creativity, the arts, drama, music, suffer because of the reallocation of resources and money. And so Peter and I are talking about how that affects the outcome of the schools, and based upon what a number of studies have discovered, it also impacts businesses who are looking for creativity. And we're going to begin talking about the millennials and how they live in terms of a creative universe. Peter, talk to me a little bit about how this might affect millennials in our conversation.
Well, again, we have this generation that is going to do wonderful things when being told specific tasks that they have to do. There are still a number of corporations and industries that require that and that are, not as progressive as some industries and corporations. But again, what's happening and what they're going to find out is that when these companies need these employees to think differently, to adapt, to be more progressive, it's going to be much more difficult because these children have, or these emerging professionals, early professionals, have gone through a school system that has focused on standardized testing.
So how does a company help their employees to become more creative?
Well, there's definitely ongoing trainings that, HR companies do within corporate America. And, before I transitioned back into the nonprofit sector, I was in corporate America, so I saw firsthand. I mean, these companies absolutely want to do what's best for the employees because it benefits their company. So, they do try to do different things with them, whether it's, strength finders or emotional EQ, things like that. And what we found is that when they're aware of our programs, they're jumping on it immediately, because we are so unique, where we really focus on making sure that these employees really optimize their skill set with open-ended kind of challenges. And the education that we also provide to the HR, the leaders, the managers in the corporation, of that it's a skill set that you can constantly and continually work on because you can improve on your creativity, has really been eye-opening for them.
Well, is there a way that businesses can utilize the techniques and the skills and the programs of the Child Creativity Lab to help their employees.
Absolutely. And that's why it's such a growing segment of our services is working with employees. It's taking them back to things that maybe you and I did when we were younger in terms of, we didn't have the iPads, the technology. So what we would do to entertain ourselves was to go in the backyard with a hammer and a nail and just kind of figure something out. And so we're using the making culture to really help them improve on their ability to think outside the box.
So what are the kind of things that you have in mind for the next year or two at Child Creativity Lab?
Our vision at the end of the day is to open up a children's museum in the Orange County area. We've always had a strategic launch map for how we wanted to introduce ourselves in the community. We wanted to do it slowly, gradually, for various reasons. We wanted to make sure that our programs made sense with what the community needs. We wanted to refine our concepts. We wanted to build our brand. And so we started off with our outreach program in 2014 as our first program, our first presence in the community. We worked with the Boys and Girls Club of Laguna Beach with our very first workshop. It was an amazing workshop, and we've since have developed a wonderful relationship with many of the Boys and Girls Clubs in Orange County. In 2015, we wanted to increase our presence in the community, and in doing so, we opened up our center. We call it our Child Creativity Lab Depot for Creative Reuse. And not only does it have a large community maker space where we do workshops and we do staff development and corporate team building, but also it's a reusable materials center. So what we do is we work with businesses all throughout Orange County, whether it's a retailer or manufacturer, they all have things that they don't need anymore, scrap, trash, whether it's production drops or outdated products, product defects that kind of are millimeters off that the normal person can't recognize, overstock. We take these widgets and we make sure that they're clean and reusable, and we make sure that they get in the hands of teachers. And that's also expanded our program immensely, is that we get to distribute these materials so that it's not only us that are doing these creativity fostering activities, but we are teaching and we are providing materials and resources so that teachers can incorporate that in their classroom programs.
I'm getting the sense, Peter, this is a guerrilla effort, that you see a problem there and you are bringing a number of different streams of thought to solve this problem.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a guerrilla effort, but honestly, this is something that we've planned from since the beginning. It just happens to be another way for us to reach the community. But going back to your original question, what do we have planned in the future? So our 2015 is when we opened up our center, and then 2018 is what we're looking for as the year where we get to open up our 15,000 square foot children's museum center. That's going to not only include the things that we have now in terms of our community maker space and our reusable materials resource center, but it's going to have a number of other creativity fostering exhibits, interactive exhibits that children can go to. So we have concepts from Europe, from China, from America, different generations, such as puppetry and arts and music and marble mazes and origami and role playing, all these different disciplines. We know that some children react well to one type of activity, while other children might not. So we have all these different types of concepts that we're ready to incorporate into our children's museum.
Well, now, when you use the word museum, what that brings up in me is a place to go see something that is already created and it's an artifact. But that's not what I'm hearing you talk about here.
No, you know what? Children's museums are quite different from, you know, the traditional museums that you and I might think about. Children's museums are much more interactive and much more hands-on. These are locations throughout the country, throughout the world, where children can come and very much interact with the exhibits. There are over 300 children's museums in the United States, and they're informal learning environments where children can get what they need that maybe school isn't providing or other areas of the community aren't providing to really kind of help with the development.
Well, you're reminding me of my experience with the Children's Museum in Boston.
Yep.
That was a very, very interactive place. It was used a lot.
Now, absolutely.
Now, you used the word maker, a maker space. Talk a little bit about maker space. I've heard things about that that there are maker spaces here in Orange County for adults.
There are. The maker movement is a trend that's kind of come about in the last few years, and it's kind of just bringing back, again, what we did when we were growing up. It's bringing back the shop class. It's bringing back woodworking. It's just an opportunity where kids can kind of get away from the iPad, the screen time, and really kind of gain some experiential learning with putting together things with their hands. And so it's definitely a movement that people recognize that can help kind of provide a different type of stimulation and learning than what the schools are doing. So they are definitely making a comeback. And not only are there kind of private maker spaces that are popping up around the community, but also many of the schools are trying to incorporate them as well, both private and public schools.
Well, I remember stories about Steve Jobs and Wozniak. They got inspiration and stimulation support from, I think it was called the Homebrew Community in Silicon Valley. That was a computer maker
Yes.
organization, wasn't it?
You know, there's different types of, or different segments of the maker movement. And so there is kind of a more tech side, which a lot of people term as kind of the hacker space movement. And then there's kind of your non-tech side, where you're just using maybe drills and hammers and glue guns and table saws and things like that. So it's definitely much bigger than what people think.
Well, I remember picking up on something that was going on in Australia that was men in sheds. They had various sheds around that they would go and visit with each other. And I'm sure there was a number of beverages imbibed as well as cigars smoked. But nevertheless, what they did was were visiting each other's maker space, whatever tools they were using, whatever projects they had, like building boats, building cabinets. But whatever that was, they were supporting that maker space. And it sounds to me like that's what you want to see happen here, is for innovation, creativity, problem-solving, skill development around creating to become part of the conversation in the community.
Yeah, you know, what we're very kind of realistic with what we're trying to do, all right? And the reality of it is that we need to... we're a business model, and to be a successful business model, you need to latch on to trends that you see in the community trends that you see in the schools that are going to be here for a while. And two of the trends that we are developed a strong tie to, one is the maker movement. We don't see that as going away. We see that as growing. And the other is STEM education. So science, technology, engineering, math. And because we have those bridges to those big trends, we create excitement. And that's a way for us to be a successful business, is to incorporate things that will excite people that are not just fads, that people want to do, that people hear about. And so absolutely, the maker movement is big for us.
Well, now, when you talk about having 8,000 students that you've been in contact with, is that something that's self-supporting, that's sustainable from your business model, or does that take support from other communities?
Yeah, that, you know, we are a nonprofit organization. You know, not all kind of organizations like us are nonprofit, but we are a nonprofit organization, and the reason that we're doing that is so that we can make sure that we have, or we can make sure that the communities have access to our programs. So many of the programs that we do, we provide free of charge to underserved communities. So schools that are, you know, assigned as Title I low-income schools and other underserved communities, we make sure that we can reach those organizations and offer our programs for free. And then, you know, for the folks that can't afford to pay for our services, our programs are relatively very inexpensive. So we always talk about our programs as either low cost or free, and again, it's to make sure that everyone has access to our programs.
Well, now, when a business engages you or brings their employees to your lab for a program, does the money that they pay, does that support your other offerings?
Yeah. What it does is it allows us to provide those programs for free to those Title I schools and those other organizations that serve communities that we think need our help. But, you know, it's not enough. We're just like your other nonprofits, where we rely on other buckets of revenue. And the two other ones besides our fee-based programs that we rely on are grants from foundations, from corporations. Now, we have some wonderful partners in the community. I'd like to kind of point out some specific ones. Edwards Life Sciences has a wonderful foundation. Cox Communications, Southern California Edison, Capstone Planning, the Bite Launch Foundation. Those are some great community partners that we've been able to work with, that believe in what we're doing and that have supported us financially. So grants are a very important aspect of important revenue stream for us. And then we also need to work with individual donors, people that need to or want to donate money to for philanthropic purposes. We definitely rely on their help to help us sustain our programs and also expand them, which is what we want to do.
So businesses can assist you by helping themselves, first of all, in bringing their executives or their employees to begin to hone or discover and then hone their skills in terms of problem solving, creativity, innovation.
Absolutely. You know, we and that's how we want to work with businesses. We don't want them to give us money if they don't know what we're doing. The first thing that we want to do is we want them to come out and do some volunteer work with our youth programs. Fortunately, there's a growing trend of businesses that are trying to make a bigger impact in the community, and we're taking advantage of that. So many of our workshops are manned with volunteers from our corporate sector. And then from there, we're able to give them insight and have them see firsthand the impact that we're making in the community. Then we look for them to really understand our reusable materials program. So, you know, these businesses always have loose parts, trash that they need to get rid of. So that's another way we can engage with them. And then finally, we'd love for them to get on as a financial supporter of others.
Good. So if somebody wanted to learn more about this or get involved as a volunteer or to bring their employees, what would they do?
Reach out to us. Reach out to us. Go to our website, www.childcreativitylab.org. We have a fellow that we just recently brought on that specifically focuses on our volunteer program. She's working with all of our potential business community partners, and she can provide all the information on how to get involved. So we want them to learn about what we do, get involved with what they do, and if they believe in us, help support us. But if not, let us help them. Let us work with their employees, whether it's providing an outlet for them to volunteer or for us to provide, team building, creativity fostering trainings for them.
What's been the experience? Tell me some stories about people who have gotten involved with working as volunteers in some of your creativity programs.
Edwards Life Sciences is a great one that I constantly think of. They are a medical device manufacturer here based in Irvine, and they do so much for the community. What their big product these days is their innovative transcatheter heart valve. It's something that you don't need to crack open your chest or have an invasive surgery now to replace a heart valve. You can incorporate that or insert it through just an artery. Mm-hmm. So minimally invasive, these patients are getting out of the hospital faster, they're healing up faster with this disruptive technology that's really kind of taking over how surgeons are doing things in this space. And they're constantly innovating. So they bring out a new generation, a better technology every year and a half or so. And they need to stay on top of the industry and and they've done a great job in doing so. But because of their constant evolution and their constant improvement, what they have a lot of is older generation technologies that they don't need anymore. They can't use anymore. So what they've done for us is that they've allowed us to be a resource where they can divert these materials, which would typically just end up in our landfills, into our center where we can distribute the components to teachers that they need. So that's one way they've worked with us. Their volunteers have come up and done workshops directly with the kids. They have a great relationship with the Boys and Girls Club of Santa Ana. We've done a number of workshops with them, with the Edwards teams. So they've not only wanted to provide us with the resources, they really want to be out there in the community and see how we're impacting the development of these children. And then finally, because of the relationships that we've had with these different programs, they've really gotten on board, and we've been able to fortunately get a grant with their Edwards Life Sciences Foundation arm. So it's about developing a relationship for them to see the value of what we're providing, and fortunately we were able to do that, and they've become a wonderful partner for us.
Well, it sounds to me like what you're talking about is involving people in a community effort to help companies train their own employees and executives to be more creative, to innovate, to learn problem-solving techniques, and at the same time to appeal to the students in elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools, so that they too can pick up on this, I want to say neglected, but it really is a result of reallocation of funds in a different direction. And so to really pick that up and help people move forward with that.
Yeah, you know, that's been our target target market all along is really the youth. And in the last year, we've really started to do more with corporate America in terms of training their employees. And that's slowly becoming a larger segment of our services. But at the end of the day, it's all about the children.
Well, can you see the possibility of having a conference, a seminar, a workshop to invite potential participants in your organization that maybe we could invite people to come in and experience a day of innovation and creativity?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing it happen in different cities all across the country. They have these creative morning panels, having different seminars, inviting guests, because people are gradually understanding the importance of creativity in the culture, in their businesses, but they're not sure how to do it. So they're looking for ways to learn techniques, learn different styles, learn different ways to do it. And that's why, you know, these other cities are hosting these events throughout the year. And we don't see a lot of that in Orange County, and so there's absolutely a big need for that.
So once again, as we're closing up here, how can people get in touch with you?
They can reach out directly to us through our website, www.childcreativitylab.org. They can call us 714-580-8392. Reach out to us. Let us know what they're looking for. Let us know how we can help them. We can develop customized programs for their staffing. We can provide volunteer opportunities. We can provide a lot of the things that these companies need.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Peter, for taking time out of your busy day to be with us to talk a little bit about how the Child Creativity Labs is intervening to take up the slack that's been created by a reallocation of funds and time in our schools to help kids discover, perfect, and to begin to enjoy their creativity, their problem solving, their innovation, and that will propel them into that marketplace where businesses are looking for those very skills. So thank you very much, Peter, for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Will.
And there you have it. It's one another aspect of Orange County where we are, as a community, helping to make businesses thrive in Orange County and in California. And in this particular sense, we are looking to help children and adults develop, discover, affirm, and to participate and strengthen their skills in problem solving and innovation and creativity. So go out there today and help your business thrive in California.
Been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.